Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. On this week's show, we are fresh off the back of British Champs. We have our first swimmer who was selected for the British team this summer and we can't wait to talk more to Ollie Morgan.
Yeah, there were many standout swimmers, like we said, when we reviewed this year's British Champs, and this week's guest is one of those standout swimmers. He had an exceptional week of backstroke swimming from the 50 right the way up to the 200, and he left us absolutely no choice but to get him on.
100%. So let's have a listen to what's in store on this week's podcast.
Yeah, I think the main thing is there's still so much that I can kind of progress with, whether it be training hours or meters or, you know, anything to do with training. We've got so much to play around with. And we're still definitely learning about how I train best and what works for me because, well, yeah, realistically, I've had one full season. And this is my second actual season of swimming. Yeah, I think me and Gary have spoken about it. It's just about kind of swimming your own race. Not letting the occasion get to you and going out there and again, just enjoying it.
So please welcome on to the podcast this week, Uni of Birmingham swimmer and the new British champion in the 50, the 100 and the 200 metres backstroke, Ollie Morgan. Ollie, thank you for joining us on the podcast this week. How are things with you?
Yeah, really good. Came off the back of champs and had a bit of time to kind of regroup and kind of evaluate what we did at champs. And so, yeah, back in training this week and yeah, it's feeling good.
Yeah, a bit of a surreal experience coming away with three golds, I bet. A shock to the system after champs?
Yeah, definitely. I think I definitely knew there was going to be some good swims, but to then be, yeah, the triple backstroke champion, I was just like, yeah, it was just, we took it each day as it came. And yeah, I'm not really too sure how it's happened, but the work's paying off.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah. Now, before we get into your performances at champs and kind of reviewing the week with you as it went, I think it's worth kind of going into a little bit of a background in swimming or your background in swimming, because to many people, you will be a new name in Team GB this summer. So where did swimming start for you? What clubs have you been through before you got to Uni of Birmingham?
Yeah, so, you know, you start off as a kid as, yeah, just swimming lessons. So it was just at my local swimming, like leisure centre, which we only have a 20 metre pool. So it's a really, really old kind of back in the day pool. So I went through all of that and my sister was swimming at Ludlow Swimming Club. And I was kind of interested in football and my dad was into mountain biking. So I was into that as well. And swimming was kind of, wasn't really one of my main focuses. And then, you know, you end up at competitions for the weekend and I kind of fell in love with it and thought I want to get involved with that. And that's kind of how I started. So yeah, I was at Ludlow from probably the age of 10 or 11, and I was there up until I moved to uni.
Now, apparently you've only been training seriously for 18 months. First of all, is that true?
So, yeah, realistically, first year of uni was the first time I had an actual programme. Back at my old swimming club, I trained probably three, maybe four times a week, all evening sessions, no mornings. I was probably only doing 3K a session, so really, really low meters. But then it was kind of backed up with the other sports that I was doing. So like, yeah, I was out on my mountain bike a lot. So I obviously had that base work in there. Mm. It just wasn't, yeah, in the pool.
Was the pool work more sprint-based stuff then? In terms of, if you're going mountain biking, that's more aerobic sort of side of it. So the pool stuff would then be more sprint-based, would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I would say so. We didn't really do too many like heavy blocks of kind of, okay, yeah, base work and things in the pool.
That's really interesting. You're not the first like elite guest to come on this podcast and say like as a junior you didn't actually do that many hours. I think Cara Hanlon, she was at a tiny pool up in the Shetlands essentially it's not that it kept her in the sport, but she still feels like she's just starting her journey, whereas a lot of kids who go off to your swimming schools, they'll do your 16, 20 hours a week and more. Whereas, do you feel like now you're at University of Birmingham, you don't have a massive amount of miles in your shoulders? You're refreshed. There's so much future ahead of you.
Yeah, I think the main thing is there's still so much that I can kind of progress with, whether it be training hours or meters or anything to do with training. We've got so much to play around with. And we're still definitely learning about how I train best and what works for me because, well, yeah, realistically, I've had one full season and this is my second actual season of swimming. So yeah, it's definitely been a learning curve. When I first joined uni, I came, Gary had seen me race back at the Festival of Swimming, and I raced the 100 and the 200, and he was pretty chuffed with the times that I went, considering we'd just come off post-COVID, and he was like, I've never seen someone swim just like that, just like my catch on the water and things like that. He was like, yeah, you've just literally built this 200 and dropped everyone else out of absolutely nowhere. And he was like, yeah, you've got to come realistically. And my sister was at Birmingham as well, so that's kind of how I'd been in contact with him. And yeah, he wanted to get me in, and he's been really good with how kind of, yeah, last year I obviously really struggled with the huge demand on training, going from nothing to then having this huge, huge kind of sessions and things. And he'd invited us, a few of us freshers last year, to go into pre-season to train with the current squad. And I think the first day of pre-season, I'd already done more than what I'd usually do in like a week and a half.
Oh my God.
So it's like, yeah, it's been definitely a learning curve. And he's been really good with adapting my training to how I'm feeling and how I'm training. So
Yeah, how did you help, or how did he help with that transition then from quite a small meterage program to what is, I presume, now, how many hours a week are you doing now?
I'm not sure on the exact amount. I do about 8 sessions here or there. And yeah, they're between an hour and a half, 2 hours.
How did he help with that transition? Was it an easy term, kind of building up to it? Was it throw you in the deep end?
Well, I was kind of, I guess I was kind of thrown in the deep end. I wanted to be there as much as I could. I'm one of these people that I always want to train as hard as I can all the time. And him trying to rein me back and say, no, come on, we need to be sensible, it was almost frustrating. Yeah, but he jotted down, like, he'd kept a track of when I was ill and things, and it was getting like every 3 or 4 weeks, which was just having a big impact, just like colds or little niggles. And because last year I wasn't on a scholarship program at the uni, I didn't get that kind of support with obviously my S&C. And we had an S&C program, but it wasn't individualized and based on people's background. It was kind of what you wanted, they just wanted moving forward. So he has been really good with, yeah, bringing me, right, reining me in and kind of looking at what we need to do to kind of move forward in the smoothest way.
It's kind of reminiscent of Alex Colquhoun, because he went
Yeah, I
from
was going to say
Siren
that.
Sester, I don't know, 4 hours a week max, I would say, roughly. And then he went all the way to Loughborough, and now is at 16 hours a week, which is obviously, he basically more than doubled what he was doing beforehand. So how long would you say it took you from that jump? How long did it take you to fully get used to that intensity and that volume?
I think it was probably a few months. I think it was probably the first semester of uni. And then kind of after the Christmas period, my short course swimming was nowhere near as good as my long course swimming, and we kind of knew that. And so when we got into that long course season, it was proper, we knuckled down, we planned out what we wanted to do and things we wanted to improve on, and we put the work in, and it paid off. I think I had a pretty good season last season for, yeah, my first actual long course season. And again, it was just turning up to a meet, hitting the swims, refreshing the mind straight after each swim, and then focusing on the next and not kind of looking back at what had happened until at least the end of the meet.
Interesting.
Now, the swims at Champs, they are obviously incredible. At what point did you know that this season was kind of on that sort of trajectory? Because me and Dan kind of sit down every year and kind of quietly look at long course bucks and look at the swims that come out of there, because there are usually one or two really fast ones that then make the team this summer. So last summer was what, Mehdi Harris in the 100 back. She an incredible swim there. Then this summer, well, Kiana McInnes is another example. Is that a point where you and Gary can sit down and look at that meet and go, you know what, something's happening at Champs?
I think the main thing this season was kind of because I was turning up to meets and I wasn't rested. Whereas last year we'd done a lot because I wasn't focusing mainly on Champs, because obviously I just knew we weren't at that level. And kind of this season we sat down and said, just after the Christmas period into the new year, we'd said that I want to just keep knuckling down, have kind of a refresh just going into the meet, because yeah, bucks I had like I think it was 11 swims in total. Cool. With individuals, so I did all three individuals, all three finals, mixed medley relay, free relay, and obviously their heats and finals. So I knew I had a busy program, and yeah, coming away with those times at bucks was definitely a shock, because I was quicker than what I was last year when I wasn't in that heavy block. So yeah, it was definitely interesting to kind of look at where we were at, but still I didn't know I had so much progression still to come.
It must have given you a load of confidence and belief, though, to hit those times, knowing that you had that hard training block and then going into a taper for Champs. It must have given you so much confidence then, give you the belief that you were going to hit those times. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I think the things that we've been doing in training, whether it be, just threshold sets or VO2 sets and things like that, I was hitting times that we've not seen before. And Gary was finishing sessions and we were having kind of like half an hour debriefs after training late at night, just nattering about what we'd done and what I wanted to do in the next sessions and things. And he was just like, some of these times are crazy, really.
Gary's a good talker, so I bet there was longer than half an hour on some.
Some occasions were longer, but no, it's all good. He's always said that's something I've been good at, is always feeding back and always telling him how I'm feeling and what I want to improve on, and he definitely agrees with that as well.
It's almost a psychological effect then, as well as the physical side of training as well. So Gary's good at that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely said in one of the interviews at Champs, I said that his mentoring has definitely had a huge impact. He's been really good with kind of the psychological edge and the enjoyment in it, keeping that enjoyment rather than letting the pressure build up. And it was definitely something I noticed the difference in at Champs this year, was how I was going into the races and I was really, really excited to literally just race. My mind was, the week before, I'd been at home the weekend before and I was literally sat at home literally just like twitching, almost just trying to just waiting for the races to come.
I think I bumped into him on, I think it was day four. And so it was after your 50, after your 100. And all he said was, "We're just enjoying it." That's literally it. He didn't really have any more feedback. He was just like, "Look, it's just enjoyment. We're taking each day and just enjoying it as you come." And I mean, you can tell like the smile that was on his face, on your face, the whole team on poolside. It's such a great ethos to have at a meet like that as well. It's incredible. Should we go through your swims at Champs then? Because we're in the lovely position for my OCD that chronologically it goes 50, 100, 200, which is brilliant. So let's start with your 50 then. On paper, kind of going into the meet, there were, I think, entry times, 15 swimmers separated by less than a second. So on paper, expected a fairly close race, but it wasn't anything of the sort. You went the second fastest time a Brit has ever gone, fifth fastest this year. You couldn't have asked for a better start to the meet.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was the first, the heat swim. I finished the heat and looked up at the board and I was like, I was in shock, to be honest. I knew, we knew that I was going to be quick, but 25-0 in a heat in the morning was quite the improvement. I mean, I think it was over half a second PB from what I'd ever done in the morning swim.
Did you have to kind of stop yourself tightening up in the final? Bit of pressure after that kind of heat swim straight away? Because 50s is quite hard to go faster in the final.
We kind of knew I had a bit of time here or there to take off, whether it be through the breakout or in the finish. We kind of knew that there's always time to take off, and it definitely showed in the final. It was probably one of the worst swims I've actually done, considering I scraped into the lane rope and I did a huge glide into the wall.
I was just about to bring up that little collision you had with the lane rope, which obviously cost you, I don't know, a couple of hundredths here or there, you know. We did see a few swimmers do that. We saw Abby Wood do it, I believe, in the 200 IM, I think it was. Is it quite tough to swim in a straight line in lane four as well at Pontsport?
I think it's just how the lighting, because you have the big lights on that one side, possibly. Mm-hmm. And, added in with the splash and, it's kind of, it is challenging sometimes.
Now, it's a little way away yet, but is Liam Tancock's British record in your sights at all? Do you look at the 50 now? Do you focus on the 100?
I think that speed is always going to be an advantage. You know, we said it throughout Champs how that 50 really boosted everything up. I think we knew how much speed was there, and we then used that in, that first 100 where... You know, I went out, I think, 25.8 in the heats to feet. Mm. And that was definitely a kind of advantage that I had, was using that easy speed. And so I think definitely it's definitely something to chase. I didn't think I'd be this close to it this early, but.
What is it? It's like 24 flat, isn't it? 24.04 or something.
0.04, I think.
Yeah, it's fast. It's really fast. Do you think then having the 50 first set you up for what is, in my eyes, the more important of the three, the 100 back?
Yeah, I think I've always liked having the 50 before the 100 for definite. It's definitely a good one to kind of bed yourself in, because you're not stressing about turns or having that fitness there. It is just... you go as quick as you can, and it's definitely a good one to build yourself into and see where you're at speed wise.
So going into the meet, was the 100 your main priority?
Yeah, definitely.
It was.
It was just, the plan was just to hit the 50 and see where we were at, and then build the 100 off of that. And it was a bit of a shock to be as quick as I was in the 50. But I mean, you can't complain about it. And then we just knew that I had to build that 100 into it. And what was really surprising was how it was the quickest I'd ever been out, and it was the quickest I'd ever come back second 50. It was a good one, really.
So
that was more of the shock that at the comeback speed was more surprising than the going out speed.
Yeah, I think. We've always known that my kind of last 25 of 100, say, is always strong, just based off of my stroke. You know, you have a lot of these swimmers that have a much higher stroke rate. They don't catch as much water. And that's something that's definitely an advantage, is keeping that kind of that slower rhythm compared to other people. And it's definitely holds the water better, and you get that kind of, almost it looks like, I'm building it into that wall.
It's more efficient.
Which is kind of bonkers to think about when your 50 was so fast, because a 50 is usually just a high turnover, but actually you're talking about stroke efficiency is essentially how you swim. So your 100 then, I'm all right in thinking first time under 54, massive PB. And it is a massively important race simply because of the medley relay. Like, even if you don't hit what was a ludicrous consideration time and qualification time, you from that swim alone, I think at that point, you know you're going to Japan?
I don't know. It's always a challenging one. I think it was just kind of, we just wanted to get through the week and see what it brought. You know, I definitely went in wanting to be on that team. But again, we didn't know where we were at. We didn't know where other people were at. And I think the times were definitely a lot quicker than what we might first have imagined. I mean, yeah, to drop a whole second PB in a heat swim was definitely a shock. And I think it has obviously showed how much work we've put in, how much I've looked after myself. And it's definitely a bonus to be in and around those 53 highs. But again, there's still way more that we can look to take off.
I mean, you had some stiff competition, especially from Cam Brooker, who was only 200ths off you in when he came second. Are you a swimmer that thrives on a strong field to race against you to try and spur you on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been a lot of meets, obviously, with Birmingham where we've gone to, say, regionals and things, and you don't get that competitiveness as much. So being in that field where you're racing eight top guys that are all within a second, and it's just a really good environment almost, you know, like in the cool rooms and stuff, we're all talking to each other. We're all bigging each other up for the race and having a laugh, say. And it's only when you get into the pool or into that kind of when you're behind the kind of banners where everyone puts their proper game face on and they're ready to challenge it.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of like the cool room shots that we got from poolside and stuff like that, they were, in my opinion, far too relaxed for kind of a meet with that sort of importance. But then you say it was when you disappeared out of view from the cameras behind the blocks where it, like, the chatting stopped. But it's kind of good to see that British swimming's like so... There's no animosity between anyone, even though there's so much importance on the line, especially for that 100 back.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's a good environment to be in where everyone, you're all chasing the same goal. You all want that selection on the team and you all want those opportunities to race. But it's definitely, if you look at it from the perspective where, yeah, you're all chasing that same goal, but you're all pushing each other on. You're always pushing the limit. And I think having those consideration times and qualifying times being so fast definitely pushed the limit on a lot more. You know, you could say the FINA A time was a 54.0.
Yeah.
A lot of people could have been around that. And having those really fast times is pushing the limit and showing people that, yeah, you can make a FINA A time, but you look at the top swimmers in the world, you know, Hunter Armstrong's going 52 mid at this time of the year. There's a lot more top guys out there, and that's where they want us to be.
It's interesting you say that, because there's a few people that really dislike those fast consideration times. So you're someone who likes it being fast, as though it's almost like a target. And was that the same for all the other guys in the final as well, that kind of drove them on to bigger, better performances?
I think it's got to, yeah, really. I didn't really speak to too many of the guys about the times that I can remember. But yeah, sitting down with Gary, we've always said, like, it's just an objective there, you know. You don't need to stress about it. It was probably the first time I've gone into a meet not focusing on the times I wanted to do. It was more going there, looking to enjoy it, knowing you've put in the work, and just being in that mindset where you're ready to race and you're excited to race and excited to, yeah, push the limit.
Yeah, you say
Matt said that as well.
Yeah, he
said that about. He didn't talk about the time at all. He just wanted to do the race, and obviously the time came with it, which is obviously what's happened with you, I suppose. Yeah, interesting.
You say the likes of like Hunter Armstrong, I think Kolesnikov has gone a ridiculous time this weekend as well, are all 52 mids right now. How do you think you and Gary can mastermind getting down to that sort of level?
I think there's so much still, yeah. As I said, there's so much that we can still look to put into my program and things that we can do to increase, yeah, training times or the meters that I'm doing or even less meters, say. It just depends on where I'm at. And I think one thing is I've had loads of kind of strength problems because I've not had that kind of S&C program from when I've been a youngster. I've just been, like, last year, yeah, I was stuck in the deep end where I just had this huge program to do. And realistically, I hadn't been in the gym. You know, you do a bit on your own back at home, just whatever you think works. And then now I've got my own, on the scholar program, I've got my own PT and Vasil. He's been unbelievable. You know, he didn't have a big background of swimming whatsoever. And he's been working really, really well with Gary. as well with the whole team. And he's been at races. You know, he came to, I think it was counties. We came off our training camp, and he came and watched. He came to Bucks, and he's just really, really open to learn it. And having that kind of close relationship has definitely helped a lot. Where he's looking at everything that I can improve on, but there's still way more that I can kind of put into my program to help improve, strength and things.
Yeah, it's always an exciting position to be in. Definitely. Yeah. So your final event of the week then, I think we saw you poolside before it, and you said essentially it's a bit of fun, no pressure whatsoever, 200. And yet again, kind of you dropped, I think it was a second and a half in your heat swim to a 158.7, and then again, even more in the final to a 157.17. Did you see that coming in the two? Because I'll be bluntly honest here, I don't think me and Dan did.
No.
Yeah, I think we knew I'd put in a good swim at Bucks. I mean, I think I went 200.2, and I really wanted to get the sub two out there, because it's kind of like, that psychological barrier where, you know, you've been chasing it for so long and you're 0.2 of a second off. But the plan for the heat was the same as how I'd swam everything else. Just go out there, challenge it, and see where you end up. And I think the heat swim was I definitely still had a lot more in there. You know, I was coming down at last 50 thinking I've got more in here, but it's, again, you've got that final in your mind where you don't want to bury yourself. And I think then going into the final, it was, we kind of discussed the race plan, and yeah, it was definitely, I was looking forward to racing.
Yeah. Because I spoke to your dad and I said, when you went a 158, and I thought, oh, he's maxed out. To go from 2 minute flat, let's say, to lose a second and a half, roughly, I thought, oh, you've maxed out. And then to lose a second and a half, again, literally, we were blown away by that. We said in our review that you turned a full second, just over a second behind Brody, and then I don't know what happened. You just clawed it back, and I think you split a 29.6 on that final 50, which is completely insane. But maybe that's due to your efficiency and your hold and catch in the water. Maybe it's down to that.
Yeah, we've definitely done a lot of work and training on holding those sorts of times, and always just trying to be around those 29s, kind of. So it's definitely just keeping the rhythm almost and building it in almost. Yeah,
I think I've watched the finish like 4 or 5 times now. Like I still watch it back, and I'm still just like, how has he won this? How is he like? And it's literally it's the fly kick and the dive and the finish, and it's like a perfect spotted finish. Whereas I think Brody glides like the slightest amount, so it's kind of a testament to the work that goes on in the 50, the 100, and it's just been translated straight to the two. That even in a lot, well, two back is a long race. Even in a long race like that, a finish is as important.
Yeah, I mean Gary's always on about it in training, you know. Even when we're doing just easy sessions or an easy part of a session, he's always constantly on us about finishes, and he's always saying, yeah, it's those little 0.1s here or there, and it's obviously shown.
I mean, that field contained Olympians. You had like Brody, like I just spoke about. You had Luke Greenbank as well, both of which are international medalists. I mean, was that your biggest win of the week? Was that the one you were most happy with out of the three?
Yeah, I think it was. It was definitely the icing on the cake, you know. Winning the 50 and the 100 was, well, it was really, really good, realistically. It was definitely a shock. And then going into the 200, we just knew I needed to challenge it. We knew there might have been a good swim in there, but, I mean, a 157 low is, it's getting on top level, really.
Definitely.
It's definitely a good place to be building off of now. You know, moving into the summer, there's still a lot more that we can improve on. It's looking good.
So you've got your selection now for Worlds. Out of interest, as a swimmer, we all find out, I think we found out on the Wednesday. When did you find out that you made the team?
It was the Wednesday as well,
So you literally find out in the morning or as the announcement goes live?
Yeah, it was in the morning,
So you get an email
an email.
Yeah. So Worlds this summer in Japan, what's the aim for you? What would you like to achieve? Have you thought that far ahead yet?
Yeah, I think me and Gary have spoken about it. It's just about kind of swimming your own race, not letting the occasion get to you and going out there and again, just enjoying it. You know, I'm definitely going to be in a good place by the time the summer comes. We've got a good block of training incoming, and I think it's gonna bode well for the summer. Again, it's the same mindset as what we had at Champs. You know what you've prepared. You know how you're going to enjoy the racing. You know, it's a whole new place to be racing, you know. And I think as well with the competition that you're against, you've got those top Americans, the Italians, it's definitely a good place to be at. And again, it's about just pushing that limit.
100%. Have British Swimming told you anything about the relays? Because, of course, there's a number of backstrokers on the team. You've got Brody, yourself and Cam. Have they talked to you about how relays are happening in terms of who's swimming the heats, or has that not been decided yet?
No, nothing's been discussed so far.
Okay. Good try, Dan.
That's good effort.
Yeah. Well, Ollie, it's been so great speaking to you on this week's podcast, kind of reviewing what was an amazing week at Champs. Now, we do usually finish with our elite guests with some quick fire questions. So we'll jump straight into them. So what is your favourite event?
I think it's got to be the 100. You know, you can use that proper good speed down at first 50, and then it's just about holding on. And I think, yeah, you love being able to challenge it and then bringing it back as hard as you can, realistically. It's just a fun event.
Nice. Who is your swimming idol?
My swimming idol? Ooh. I think, yeah, from a young age, you obviously watch Michael Phelps. Mm. And again, you show he's literally pushed the limit of swimming to a whole nother level. You know, was it four Olympics he was at? Five Olympics?
Five, yeah.
And it just shows, yeah, he's obviously had that mindset of always pushing the limit and not focusing on the results as such, but focusing on where he is and what he needs to do. Because, you can't imagine the limelight that he's in and, you know, the stresses that he has on himself to perform constantly. Mm. And I think, yeah, he's definitely had that mindset of not letting the occasion get to him. And yeah, so I'd say it's kind of the same mindset that we've had is just focusing on where you're at and what you need
one
to do.
Time.
And then, yeah, seeing what comes with it.
Nice. What's your proudest moment in swimming so far?
I think, yeah, Champs probably is definitely the best.
Just the whole thing.
No, I've had a lot of, yeah, realistically. coming off of other meets, it's been really good. But to have a meet, then moving into an international meet, and getting that first selection, I think that's definitely the top moment, you know. We obviously had Indianapolis at the World Cup, but it's not the same as, being actually selected and being on that program to get you there, yeah.
Nice. What's the hardest set Gary's ever handed out to you in training?
Oh, the hardest set. Well, we have some lactate sessions that are pretty rough. I think one was we had 6 100s max off like 7 minutes, say. So
I hate it.
You get in and you bang one out, and then you have to just stand around and let yourself marinate almost.
Yeah.
But again, we do that, and then there's another couple lads that we always try and challenge each other, and we might go for some 50s afterwards and just proper bury yourself. Yeah, it's all good fun.
Do you know what? We've had Gary on this podcast and asked him what the hardest set he ever handed out was, so it'd be interesting to see if they line up. And final question then.
I think it was a distance set that he'd said about.
I think he literally handed it out that morning that we had spoken to him.
Yeah.
Final question is a little bit away from swimming. It helps everyone get to know you that little bit better away from the pool. If you were to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrities, anyone you want. Who would you take with you?
Ooh. I think, can my first one be a group of people?
Yeah, go for it. We'll have a big car.
So we have a WhatsApp chat for my swimming, basically. You know, live links get put on there, results.
Right.
And okay. I think that's been definitely something that's helped me through meets and stuff, where you've got this huge amount of people supporting you, family, friends. And yeah, it's really nice to see you've got all those people supporting you. Mm. I think next, I think it's got to be, I'd probably go for Lewis Hamilton, to be fair.
Is he driving?
I'd probably let him drive. If not, I'd drive, yeah. yeah, again, another one that's, yeah, pushed the limit in the sport. And finally, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it might have to be Michael Phelps. Yeah.
Nice.
Again, you learn off them. Surround yourself with those people that you can learn off. And yeah.
Sounds good. Well, Ollie.
More of a minibus.
Right, that's all that matters. Ollie, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Best of luck with your next training block heading into Japan, and a massive congratulations on your performances at Champs. Thoroughly deserved.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. Hopefully Gary doesn't put too many more of those 6100s up, because it sounds like I get these little flashbacks of, I used to hate them. I was always sick. But yeah, congratulations on amazing Champs. And yeah, good luck for the summer. I think we're going to do quite well. Yeah,
hopefully.
Dan, great to have on one of the swimmers of Champs, no doubt about that. And to hear the fantastic work that's going on behind the scenes, and the fact that he's only been properly swimming now for 18 months. I know it sounds like a surprise, but actually it's a little bit of a theme coming through from a few of the swimmers we spoke to. Like you said in the podcast, Alex Cahoon is now, 18 months into his life at Loughborough, and he banged out a 22.1 in the 53. You've got Cara Hanlon, who's hitting records. Like, swimming doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours as a junior, and these swimmers, Ollie especially, are proving that.
I wonder if these younger swimmers, if they're doing these laps upon laps upon laps, are over-exhausting themselves. It's almost like they're pushing themselves too early. Not to the point of burnout, because some of the swimmers are still going, but you know, the potential of not pushing themselves further, they kind of get rid of that a little bit, if that makes sense, because there's no progression. That's what I'm looking for. There's no progression in their training, you know? Got there eventually.
Well, you don't win... are very unlikely that you win Olympic gold at like 14, 15, 16. Mm. But if you're Summer McIntosh, you probably do. But the whole point is to keep swimmers in the sport. And by the time then you're a grown man like Ollie is now, there's still so much more to add on top. And I really do like that, like I said, it's a theme we're seeing on these elite swimmers. It's kind of a good model that I think more people should maybe be looking at. But he's done the triple at British Champs. He's the first man to do it since 2007, Marco Lochran, and it seems like there's still a lot or a long way to go. Like there's a lot to be added on. He can get a lot quicker when you hear him speak.
Well, he said it himself, and so did through Gary, that enjoyment is still the number one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's on the world's team, he's going to Japan this summer, he's not really too fussed about his times or really how he swims. I'm sure there is a little bit of how he swims, but he just wants to enjoy it. He just wants to race these guys. Mm. And I said it in the podcast that Matt Richards had that same mentality as well, and it's brought out the best performances out of him. I wonder if that's the way to do it, because he's not putting so much pressure on him. He talks about Phelps being his role model at the end, and actually we kind of forget how much pressure must have been on his shoulders in Beijing. Mm. And the fact that he dealt with it. And maybe that's what the mentality is at the moment with the psychologists that these guys have, to try and not overthink about it and just do it. Just do what your body's been trained to do.
I wonder how much those fast qualification and consideration times help with that. Like, we say it's absolutely ridiculous for a swimmer to break a British record in April to make the team, which it is. Mm. But when you're going into the 100 back, you know that time's so fast that you're just not bothered by it. So you are just enjoying the race, and what happens, happens. Like, everyone says it's such a bad thing, and all the swim comments are, they don't quite get it. But
yeah,
I kind of understand it. Like, it just takes so much pressure out for the swimmers, essentially, even though the times add so much pressure.
Yeah, well, we were discussing it a little bit, and I was, again, going for the athlete's mindset, kind of like what you're saying. You just ignore the times, and you just do whatever you can do and race the person next to you. And you take Kiana McInnes, for example, that 100 fly qualification time on consideration time was way, way out there, 56 low, whatever it was. Mm. And she hit a 0.4, I think, 0.5 second PB to go 58, sub 58 for the first time. So it's worked for her. It works for Ollie, and I have no doubt it's going to be, or it works for a few others as well. Mm. So I actually, again, it worked for Tokyo. It brought our best medal haul in, and I do wonder if we carry on doing it, because our swimmers are, they're not hitting these times, but he hits a
that
Fina
doesn't
A
matter
time.
At this point,
it
does
doesn't
it?
Matter. Yeah, so he's up there, you know, even though he didn't hit the consideration time. So I wonder if we just carry on doing it.
He also does get the logic of the fast time, because you want, like, if someone's getting to the standard of Hunter Armstrong, they're rewarded with a straight away. But exactly. That's the point the times are at. They're at, what, a world finals. That's the mark that British swimming want people to be at. But then if you're not at that mark, you can still make the team. Like, he was a triple British champion. They weren't going to not pick him.
Yeah. Well, in the end, we picked 14 swimmers, didn't we, on coach's discretion. But it was interesting that is the 200 bachelor quiz is best swim, which I think a lot of people would agree with, mainly because I thought he was a sprinter. I thought going in, he was a 50/100 meter backstroker, not a 200 meter backstroker. And the fact that he came back so well, interesting that efficiency is his biggest thing. I think that's a big takeaway for those youngsters listening in.
Well, my takeaway from his 200 back being so good and him saying like he had so much left in the heats, I wonder if he pushes that. Like, he went out hard in the 100, don't get me wrong. I wonder if he pushes that even more now. And he's just like, well, I've got back end in me. Like, I can swim a good two back and come back in a 29.6. Like, oh, it's encouraging.
Maybe that's the progression. Maybe that's what Gary's got in his master grand scheme, you know, in the background. So who knows what he's going to do in the summer, but it looks good right now. Looks good.
We've talked a lot about Gary Humpage in this podcast. If you haven't, if you're not aware of the work that he's doing up at University of Birmingham, go back. We spoke to him in February. We kind of had a little inkling that something was going on, something was special there. I think he was recommended to us by a few coaches on poolside that he's one of the nicest guys. He's doing something special. Go have a listen. We'll link it in the show notes. If you can't find it, it should be easy enough to find. But yes, first guest, post-champs, selected one to the team. There are two more, hopefully on the way very soon. So if you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And me and Dan will be back in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.